Imagine playing football with no rules, no boundaries. How much fun do you think it would be? You know, there are no fouls. In other words, there's no such thing as a dirty hit. You can break somebody's leg. It's okay. Not wrong. How fun would it be? How do you win? Where are the goals? There are no rules. Remember, no boundaries, except what each team creates, what each team decides on its own to create as boundaries. Do you think that would go over very well? You know, imagine playing any sport like that. Baseball, lacrosse. You know, every team just kind of decides on their own what the rules should be, how to win, how to lose, no time limits. My guess is it wouldn't take very long for a sport like that to lose complete interest of people. You know, today people are very unhappy. People are frustrated. They're angry. And I just wonder, could it be it's because we're trying to live life like a football game with no boundaries, no rules, no objectives, that the right and wrong is simply determined by the individual team? You know, whenever Americans are surveyed, I find it interesting, the numbers never get better. When they're asked, is the nation on track or on the right track or the wrong track? People always say wrong track. In fact, most recently, 76% of Americans say we're on the wrong track. Only 23% say we're on the right track. How did we get off track? Why is it that so many people are unhappy? Could it be because God's ways are right, God's truth is true, but if we reject God's truth a priori, then we play like there's no rules and like there's, how do you win? And it just gets confusing and life doesn't work. See, most people agree that people are too angry. Most people agree there's too much divisiveness, too much depression, too much loneliness, too many people that don't have a sense of purpose. How do we get off track? How do we get on track? I thought it was interesting, an article that David Brooks wrote called How America Got Mean. In it, he talks about the demoralization of American culture. Brooks notes, over the course of the 20th century, words relating to morality appear less and less frequently in our nation's books. According to a 2012 paper, usage of a cluster of words related to being virtuous also declined significantly. Among them, words like bravery dropped 65%. Bravery doesn't matter so much anymore. Gratitude dropped 58%. Humbleness, humility dropped 55%. For decades, he continues, researchers have asked incoming college students about their goals in life. In 1967, 85% said they were strongly motivated to develop a meaningful philosophy of life. They wanted to live life that mattered. By 2000, the year 2000, only 42% said that being financially well off was the leading goal for their lives, not purpose, not serving, but making money. 2015, 82% of students said wealth was their aim. How did we get off track? I remember back in the 1970s when I was growing up, hearing Christians, reading older Christians who were saying there's problems ahead because of what they called moral relativism. The idea that there is no right or wrong, no absolute truth. Morality is just relative. And why was this coming to the conclusion of many people? Because we have become a secular culture, they said. A secular culture believes that there is not an absolute God who gives absolute truth, but therefore all truth is relative. We had many people leading in the academy, like Carl Sagan, saying, you know, the cosmos is all that was or is or ever will be. In other words, the only thing that really lasts, the only thing that is real is matter, the material. Is it any wonder that the more people accept there is no truth, but what is eternal is matter, that they, as a result, become materialistic. What matters most? Having more good material stuff, being rich. When I was a kid, my eyes glazed over with that, all that philosophical stuff. Who knows? They're probably exaggerating. Today, we're living the results. I don't quote Karl Marx much, at least in a positive way, but I think he was right. I understand inscribed on his grave is this line: "The philosophers have only interpreted the world in various ways, but the point of philosophy, however, is to change it." Philosophy, you may look at and say, why does it really matter? It's just academic stuff. No, philosophers may describe the world, but the point is to change the world. Somebody's philosophy changes people's lives. And it's either going to be a philosophy of all things are relative and therefore everything's up to the individual, or it's a philosophy, a belief that there is a God who's absolute, absolutely loving, but absolutely true, absolutely just, absolutely faithful. And his character determines what's true. You know, among the cultural leaps, absolute truth went the way of the dodo bird, as we said, in the 60s. Relativism says there is no objective external standard for right and wrong that is valid for everyone. Truth isn't absolute. Truth is arbitrary. It's determined by each person. Let's all play the game, but everybody gets to write the rules of the game, and everybody gets to determine what it means to win, what it means to lose. Moral truth is up to the individual. A new study has revealed that most Americans now are thoroughgoing relativists. 58% of Americans say they believe there are no absolute boundaries for morality. Truth is determined by the individual. So, 20 years ago, homosexual marriage was considered wrong by most people. Even Barack Obama, as president, said, nope, marriage is between one woman and a man. Today, what is seen as good and moral is there are no standards for marriage, except everybody can be married. It doesn't matter if you're homosexual, it doesn't matter. It's determined by the individual, you see. We're only a moral people because we're still standing on some of the ground that had been handed us by a previous generation. But once that ground had been eliminated, there's no place to stand. It's inevitable that we get to where we are. That's why 5 years ago, someone struggling with gender confusion was seen with sympathy. You saw somebody who needed help. This is not normal. Today, who's to say what's right and wrong? Hey, it's an individual thing. Today, in fact, morality determined by the individual, and since most in the dominating culture believe that transgenderism is good, you now are wrong if you believe what most people believed for most of humanity until the last 3 minutes. This is the essence of relativism. No one standard of true and false, right or wrong, good or bad, beautiful or ugly can preempt any other standard. No standard is valid for everybody. And yet Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, we're off track. The reason people feel we're off track is because they know they're not free. They know something's wrong. The problem is they've rejected the solution before they've even tried to deal with the problem. They just, I don't like that solution. I don't like the taste of it. But there is no other solution. The opposite, by the way, is also true, you see. If you don't know the truth, if you abandon the truth, it will destroy your freedom. It will lead to bondage, individually, as well as nationally. John 1:14, the Bible says, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Son from the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Jesus called the Holy Spirit in John 16, 13, the Spirit of truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we then as Christians are told it is going to be best. We will be our best when we rightly handle the word of truth. Why is the world going in the wrong direction? Because we don't believe there is a right direction. We're really smart people, we think, but I agree with Malcolm Muggeridge, who says we've educated ourselves into imbecility. Jesus said there's a wide road and a narrow road. The wide road leads to destruction, and it is well traveled. Lots of people take that. The narrow road leads to life, but few there be that find it. The wide road says anybody can determine their own right and wrong. Nobody tells us what to do. The narrow road says Jesus is the truth. Jesus is salvation. But few find that. The challenge for us today is for Christians to recommit to truth. For Christians to reject, identify where you are buying into relativistic thinking and instead think biblically. First, we need to commit ourselves in that way to the truth. That means we are committed to reading the Bible every day and believing that it's true, assuming it's true, not that we're true, not that our present day culture is true. It changes us. We don't change it. And then we apply the Bible because it's true. We try to live the Bible as it commands, as God shows. See, the first problem in the world, and here's the shocking thing, is not that the world doesn't believe in truth, but the first shocking thing is Christians don't believe in absolute truth. According to findings by pollster George Barna, belief in absolute moral truth rooted in God's word is rapidly eroding among all Americans, adults, regardless of whether they're churched or unchurched. I think the most stunning result of Barna's research, it shows the rejection of God's truth and God's absolute moral standards by American Christians. Among evangelicals, people who claim that they're born again, they claim to believe the Bible is the word of God. 46% reject absolute moral truth. Let that sink in. Among people who go to churches that are Bible believing, who claim they believe that Jesus is the truth, when they are taken surveys, when they are take studies in private, they reject moral absolutes. That's why you have churches that will accept immoral standards. Why you have churches that are compromising where the world gives pressure. Proverbs 3 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Whenever Christians reject absolute moral truth, they are rejecting Jesus Christ. They are saying, I am wiser than God. My thinking is smarter than God's thinking. I don't trust that what God says is always true. I don't believe that Jesus is always true. Now, we probably would not come out and say that, but in the way we rationalize compromising with truth is how it shows. Second thing, we need to commit ourselves to teaching the next generation to respect absolute truth in Jesus. Again, the Barnett study went on to find that the pull of secularism is especially strong among younger Americans. Those under 30 are much less likely to say that God is the basis of truth. 31%, only 31% say God's the basis of truth. It is more likely that moral standards, they say, are decided by the individual, 60%. Parents, we need to disciple our children in the truth. That means we need to teach them the Bible at home. That means we need to believe the Bible is true, and we need to believe it so much that we just can't believe that we wouldn't teach our kids the Bible. We need to talk about the Bible at home with our kids in just kind of the regular warp and woof of life, just the regular when we're talking about decisions that we're making. How do we think as a family? What are we going to do? What's the Bible say? That means we commit ourselves to worship, to the church, and we commit to have our kids worshiping with us. By the time our young people are fifth and sixth grade, it's time for them to join you in adult worship. I really think that dividing our families, at kids at fifth and sixth grade, in that adult worship is detrimental to discipling our kids. You know, they need to hear the Bible being preached. They need to hear, watch people listening. They need to watch their parents worshiping. And you need, it needs to give you an opportunity to talk about those things. What questions did you have? What did you think about this point in the sermon? What did you hear being said? Parents disciple by sharing that experience, not by being separated by that experience. I know what parents will say, oh, well, what are my kids bored? Oh, I think my kid will learn the Bible better if there's a class that's targeted at my child. There may be a short-term benefit to that, but I think the long-term loss is greater. See, the church is not about you or me or your kids. It's not good for us to teach our kids. The church is about you. You being happy, you being entertained, things being targeted at you. It's good for our kids to be a part of that adult worship service, and they start to realize this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I remember I was younger than that when I was going to worship with my parents and my grandparents, and there was something about watching everybody worship together. There's something about singing those songs together. There was something about the seriousness and the joy. There's something about, I didn't understand most of what the sermon was or what the preacher was saying, but I was able to hear my parents talk about it, my grandparents talk about it afterward. And I remember the first time I heard about speaking in tongues. What's speaking in tongues? Well, it was after a sermon, they're starting to talk about speaking. Parents, there's so much to be taught in discipling your kids. And the bottom line, they learn what is that God is to be taken seriously and that he is true. Jeffrey Byers writes in his book, Truth Changes Everything, we live in a world where we cannot go a single day without hearing that truths are based on how we see things rather than on what exists to be seen. Truth is not out there to be found, he says, it's in here to be narrated, they say. Christians need to recommit themselves to Jesus Christ, who said, I am the truth. For Christians, philosophy is not claptrap. Truth is not philosophical claptrap. Truth is Jesus Christ. Here's the question. What will it look like for you today, this week, to be fully committed to the truth of Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, we live in a world that's not working because of its rejection of you. We live in a world that is lost, and we are lost without you. Would you guide us in your truth today? Would you help us to be able to discern where people are thinking relativistically and not thinking biblically? Would you help us, Lord, to discern? Help us not to make a big deal about things that really are opinions and aren't true. Help us not elevate things that are not true to the level of absolute truth, but at the same time, Lord, those things that are absolutely true, may we be able to discern and not compromise so that we can find the life that is in Jesus Christ. Through Christ we pray these things. Amen. Thanks for joining us. Hope to see you soon.